Title of my message this morning is Kings or Criminals? Which would you choose? Which would you like to be? Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So I just want to share something before we have communion. And the songs that we've been singing this morning are so beautiful. In the cross of Christ, the veil has been torn. What does that mean? What does it mean the veil has been torn? Now this scripture says, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins, from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. What does that mean? What does that speak about? It's so amazing that all of us have in some way or another been a criminal. Did you know that? All of us. It's like maybe sing Michael Jackson's song about the criminal. Smooth criminal. Now in God's sight, we have all in some way, in our hearts, in our minds, or in our actions, we have acted or lived as criminals. We have broken God's law. We are guilty, and we deserve, in that sense, punishment. Just for instance, if I would, if we would put it, take a chip, a microchip, and we put it in your brain, plug it in there, and then record everything that you think and imagine for the next month. And then we all come together here at church and we play a movie for everybody to see what you were thinking and what you were imagining. Anybody that would be comfortable with that? No. So in that sense, even if our actions sometimes are not that wrong, maybe it is, so often just in our thoughts, we can be living like criminals. And what's so beautiful about this is that despite that, God says he loved us and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So he takes a criminal who's guilty and he washes away or removes all their transgressions, everything that they've done wrong. He removes it as if they never did it. Think about that for a moment. Imagine everything you've done wrong in your life. Everything. And suddenly, all of that's wiped away. And suddenly it is as if you've always done everything perfectly right. You're innocent, but not only innocent, you've done everything right. And that's what that scripture speaks about. He has washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he just doesn't leave us there. Then God goes on and he makes us kings and priests. Imagine that. A kingdom full of criminals being forgiven, washed, cleansed, and then given an identity. A beautiful identity. You know, a king. You were a criminal, but now you're a king. You were a nobody, now you're a priest to the Most High God. Identity. That's what Jesus did for us. And so I want us to just think about that for a moment. And I'm going to share about that, about a criminal becoming a king, or in a sense, on a daily basis, we have a decision to make and a key that can make us kings on a daily basis. But I just want us to just to pray for the body of Christ, which is represented by this bread. Father, we thank you that that you love the world so much. So much. And each of us, even though we were criminals, Lord, you still love us and loved us. And Lord, when we turn to you, you set us free. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for us. Thank you that the veil has been torn through your death on the cross. And now we can step into the presence of the Most High God. Just take a moment and thank God for his body that was broken for you. Even though you didn't deserve it, he loved you and died for you. Just take a moment and pray. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body, so that we can be made whole. Okay, let's eat together. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. How personal isn't that? To wash somebody. I know it sounds a little bit gruesome, but so powerful that he took our sins upon himself. He took our place and he washed us. God, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for the price you paid. We rejoice this day. We boast in the cross. We boast in your blood. We boast in this, what you have done for us, so that we, even as criminals, can step into the presence of a holy God. And all that God sees is holiness because of your blood. Lord, we receive that this morning. By the blood of Christ and through our trust in the blood, we can declare we are innocent of everything we've done wrong. Blameless. God, I thank you that when you look at us, you see your Son, Jesus. You see that perfection despite our performance. Despite our mistakes, when we put our trust in you, we are forgiven. Beautiful. Glorious. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, this morning we receive the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Washes us and cleanses us and sets us free. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast aside every condemnation. Thank you, Lord, that we can cast aside every guilt. And we can just say, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Just take a moment and pray. Thank God for his blood. Know that the blood is sufficient. Doesn't matter what you've done, it is stronger, greater, more powerful. And thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, that you died so that we could live. And we receive, each of us receives that life right now. The life of Christ. Let your blood, let your grace, let your goodness wash us. We declare this in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. So enjoy communion. I want to encourage you, do it at home, do it with your family, with your spouse or your children, or just do it with your friends or even alone. It's powerful. It reminds us of what God has done for us. Okay, so we've been speaking about identity, and it's really been good. And so I want to give you a key this morning to help you step into your identity as a king and a priest on a daily basis. Because even though you might say, yes, the scriptures say all these good things about us, you know, you are in Christ and you are, I'm going to show you, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and you are a king and you are a priest and you're all these wonderful things. But I'm sure most of us will say, but I don't feel like a king most of the time. I don't feel noble. I don't feel so necessarily so special. Most of the time, many of us could actually say, but I struggle with our identity. We struggle. We battle with who we are. And so I want to give you a sort of a key this morning to help you step into that place of being everything that God has called you to be. Ephesians chapter 2, another scripture here. That this is really, really powerful scripture as well. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Again, the love of God, his mercy. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, like a criminal breaking the law, trespassing. But we were so corrupt, we were so bad, that the Bible says we were dead until we turned to Christ. Dead. But it says, but made us alive together with Christ, and then it says, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you must see this now. Jesus came to earth. He laid down his godliness in a sense, his godhood. He came to earth. He became a man. He died on the cross in our place. He was resurrected from the grave 3 days later. And then about 50 days later, he was ascended into heaven, back to the right hand of the Father. Now God is the King of the whole universe, and Jesus is the King of kings. So he came and he took back his place of authority. He took back his godhood and went to sit at the right hand of the Father. And in this amazing scripture, he says, and he does the same with you and me. We were dead, but he made us alive. And then he lifted us up, not physically, but in your spirit. You might be sitting here, but you could also be seated at the right hand of the Father with authority, with identity, with strength. All those things that goes with that. But unfortunately, many of us are not, that we don't feel like we're seated in that place. It's called a place of honor. So how do we take up that place? I mean, the scripture says it is so. But how do we practically take that place, that royal throne, where we're no longer just ordinary Christians, but we are kings and priests? It's like the world wants to give us a seat of shame. A seat of shame where you feel guilty and you feel condemned. You feel not good enough and you feel just you're not cutting it. And all these burdens can so easily rest upon our shoulders. But there's another seat that God wants to give us. A seat of honor. A seat of glory. A seat of royalty. I don't know if you've watched the movie Toy Story. Now, I've been watching it now about 20 times the last few weeks with my boy. Maniki. Maniki. Now, I'm listening to Maniki cake. Toy Story. And there's this one little dinosaur, green dinosaur. And he is like really a wuss. He is like really insecure. So he growls and he says, "Was that what? Were you afraid? Were you afraid?" But he's like really a wussy. And then one bit at the end, he's always struggling with his identity if he's like a real dinosaur. And at the end, when they found out that they made a mistake, then he like said, "Oh no, now I sit with guilt as well." And I just thought that's like so how we often go through life. We're struggling with our identity. We're not really sure who we are and if we mean something. Like I shared about each of us, we are a masterpiece. But then we also sit with guilt, like that dinosaur. Yeah, because identity, insecurity about your identity and guilt will go hand in hand. Insecurity about who you are and shame will go hand in hand. And so you can either take up a seat of shame or you can take up a seat of sonship. A seat. It's not about gender. It's about a position in God. Okay, so how do we take up that seat? Well, it's quite simple. And I'm going to give you a few keys of how this works. But it's actually prayer. To pray. Every day. Every day you and I have the choice of either taking up a seat of shame or a seat of sonship. I can give you a few keys of a structure as to help you how to pray. Because you see, prayer is much more than just asking God about stuff. "God, I please want this." No, that's just part of it. Prayer is a tool or a process through which we take up our seat in the heavenlies. Prayer is much more. Prayer is the path to the right hand of the Father. Ever thought about that? Prayer is the path to the right hand of the Father. And I believe that's why so few people are walking in the fullness of God, because they don't have a prayer life. They don't know why they should actually pray, and they don't know how. And that's often the reason why we struggle to pray. Through prayer, we take up our identity and our authority in God. And I'm going to give you some practical tips. But so through prayer, we reign as kings and priests. And as I said, through prayer, we take up our God-given place as sons of God in the heavenlies. Through prayer, we step into the presence of God. Through prayer, we step into the presence of God. But because so few of us actually know how to pray, we actually find ourselves remaining outside the presence of God. We go in a few steps, but then we stop at a certain point. We don't go in the whole way. And so I'm going to share with you beautiful outline, a beautiful structure, a beautiful key that the Bible gives us for stepping all the way from outside God's presence into His presence, from outside into that place where He reigns and He rules. And also, because many of us lack a prayer life, we find ourselves acting or thinking like criminals. We find ourselves falling back to our old ways. We find ourselves falling back to stinking thinking. We fall back to old ways. The old person you were, you might find yourself, "I can't believe I'm doing this again. That's the old me." And I found that often the reason is, comes down to prayer. Look at this, Mark chapter 14, verse 38. It says, "Watch and pray," Jesus speaking, "watch and pray. Why? Lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Our strength is to be, as a believer, in the spirit. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. The apostle Paul actually said, "Pray without ceasing." Why? Because he knew that it's only through consistent prayer that you take up your identity, and only then the kingdom can come, because you take up your place at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so let me give you a few ideas here. The path to God's presence. Now, there's a pastor, Paul Yonggi Cho. Don't know if you maybe heard about him, but he's the pastor of the largest church in the world. His church is about 750,000 people in South Korea, one church. And What I'm going to share with you now is one of the ways he prays. He prays three times a day, an hour each time, and he uses what I'm going to share with you now. And some other wonderful men of God use the same sort of outline or structure to lead them or guide them in their prayer times. It's not just about coming, sitting, saying, okay, God, please, can you bless me today? It's much more than that. There's a whole process the Bible speaks about. Okay, and that process is basically Moses' tabernacle. In the book of Exodus, Moses was on the mountain, and then God revealed to him how the spirit realm looks like, the heavenlies look like. And then God told Moses, now what you saw, go make it, because it will show people the path into my presence. So the scripture there is Hebrews 8 verse 5. It says, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So he was saying basically there, in the heavenlies, there's the real. But Moses' tabernacle was the copy or the shadow of the real in heaven. And it's an idea, indication for us as to how we should approach God. Okay, so Moses' tabernacle basically gives, it's what, there was an outer court, then and there's different pieces of steps that the priest would take into the very presence of God. You can do about 20 messages on this to go into detail. I just want to give you a very short outline about this. But the priest would start on the outside, and there would they what they would be calling the bronze altar. So it was a big bronze altar. On that altar, they would slaughter animals, and they'll take their blood, and it would be the sacrifice for the people. Okay, so the first step for the path to God's presence. When you come to God and you pray, where do you start? You start with a cross. You start with the blood. You start with that, the sacrifice of God. This is amazing, but you can be distracted, you can be out of it, you can be down, you can be wherever, doesn't matter. It's amazing that when you just come and you start, God, I thank you for your cross. Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you've done for me. Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you that you are the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world and all of my sin as well. You have paid the price and you've opened the way for me into your presence. So you start there. The cross is our context. Never start with yourself. Never start with your own needs. Always start with God. I thank you for what you have done. That's the starting point. That's the outside place where you start moving in. And there's like many things you can pray about. It is finished. You can meditate on different scriptures. For instance, this scripture as well. Psalm 65, verse 4 to 5. There's about six steps. I'm just going to just quickly touch on some of them. Psalm 65, verse 4 to 5. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. And by awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation, you who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far off seas. It says, blessed is the man you choose. So you can come to that first step and you can say, God, I thank you, you've chosen me. You can come boldly, not because you've sinned or not sinned. You can come boldly because of what Jesus has done for you. You can come and say, God, I'm a son, and I'm coming as a son this morning. God, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you that you've chosen me, and I thank you that you empower me supernaturally to walk into your presence right now through prayer. And so you start there. You, blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you. So you must picture this in your mind's eye. You must picture this in your heart. When you come to pray, you must see yourself going through a process. Deeper and deeper and deeper into God. If you don't see that, then often we stay outside. We never actually get into that place where prayer rocks. Don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'm sure some of us have. But you can pray for 8 hours nonstop when you get in. It's amazing. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. That means you can't pray without ceasing. It's amazing. You can pray for hours. Just you're in the Spirit. But often people say, oh, pray, I just can't handle the whole hour or hour and a half. Why? Because they're outside. Nothing wrong with them. It's not like they're not spiritual enough. It's just they've just not entered. They've not gone through the process. They're outside. Some others are inside. So they're going, yeah, that is amazing. And I think, what? There's nothing amazing. Nothing amazing happening here. Why? Because you're still outside. Many people struggle with prayer. They just really don't get excited. Why? Because it's not prayer that's exciting. It's the presence of God that's exciting. That's what makes it alive. That's what makes it alive. That's why I can go on for hours in prayer when I'm in the right place. If I'm not in there, 2 minutes is long. You know? So you want to go in. The cross is our context. So that's number one, the bronze altar, the blood. That's where you start. You come with that thanksgiving. Okay, second one. The next step that the priest would walk through on his way to the very presence of God, the high priest, would be what's called the laver. It's a bronze bowl with water in. And the priest would come there and they would wash their hands. Now, what does that represent? Now, the bronze laver, if you would come to that, and the priest would be able to see his reflection in the bowl. So it's a sense where you come and see yourself. But the challenge here is not just to see yourself as you are, but to see yourself through the Word of God. There's scriptures that speaks about coming to the Word of God like a mirror. The Word of God is like a mirror. And then this scripture speaks about this, John chapter 15, verse 3. As the priest came and cleansed him, Jesus speaks here to his disciples and says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus speaking, and he says, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So you start off with the context of the cross and everything Jesus done, but now you come and you face, in a sense, a bit of yourself. On the one hand, maybe stuff, sins and whatever, you come and you receive cleansing. And you say, God, I thank you. Through your word, I am cleansed. Lord, I thank you. Through your word, you say, I am this, I'm a son, I'm a king, I'm a priest. But you come to the word and see yourself. What people many times do is when they come in prayer, they start over there and they do it wrong. They just start off with, God, I'm such a worm. I've messed up again. I am so bad. And so the context is not what Jesus has done. The context is, I'm miserable, I failed, I'm not able, I'm terrible, Lord. And so there's guilt and condemnation and shame. So you must come in a context of what Jesus has done and you say, God, I acknowledge that I have messed up, but I thank you that now I can receive cleansing and washing through your word. As Jesus said, you are clean. Can you say clean? Clean. Let's try again. Clean. Clean. Say, I am clean. I am clean. Next verse, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So that second step is the word that washes us. So what's happening is you, as you're walking now on this path from outside the presence of God and into the presence of God, something's happening here. Each step you are adding something to the mix. You're adding to your faith. On the one hand, now you're adding the word of God. I'm being cleansed through the word that washes us and then establishes us. The third one, now this all on the outside. Now he steps into what's called the holy place. It's the outside court of the inner tent. And then you'll have this, the candlestick. Now this is a single piece of hammered gold. Six or seven wicks. And this was the only light in Moses' tabernacle. So the next step, and that represents the anointing oil, that represents the Holy Spirit. So the next step, this I love when I'm praying and I'm starting off with the cross and I'm coming being washed by the word. But then when I step in here, I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, come, my guide, my counselor, my help. Come alongside me now. Illuminate me. Give me light. It's amazing. The scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit being the one that comes alongside us and leads us on a path into the presence of God and into understanding the word. And so many of us, we get up in the mornings and we have our 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. We might read some scriptures and then we walk out into the world. But you haven't like said the Holy Spirit, welcome. You haven't opened the door. You've not started to step into that place of kingly authority. So you're sort of just going out there, but you're not ready. You're not ready. I don't know if you've experienced it, but I have in a sense. When I remember when I was working in Stellenbosch, it's a church office. I mean, church office is supposed to be like heavenly. That's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like so easy. You don't have to even spend time with God. You just walk into the church office. God will be there. Not so. And nothing to do with the people. It's just life has pressure and spiritual pressure. So if you're outside of the presence of God and you're stepping into your day, you're vulnerable. I remember Monday mornings was like the worst for me. Every Monday morning, I'll get up and around 10 o'clock, I'll get a blow up. I'll get like frustrated or angry, or I'll just lose it and have to walk out and go pray because I wanted to not be Christian. And then I realized my life depends upon this. I need to spend time with God. I've often said this. I am a wonderful husband when I spend time with God. I'm a shocker when I'm not spending time with God. Why? Because that's where my strength comes from. That's where my self-control comes, my peace, my joy. In the same way, many of us, I guarantee you, if I had a hands up thing here this morning, I'll tell you, most of us are walking into our daily work without spending quality time. I'm not just saying about reading a bit of scripture. I'm talking about getting into the presence of God, taking up your place at the right hand of the Father and saying, Lord, I'm ready. Today is my day. I'm focused and I'm in your presence. If you don't do that, life's going to take you apart. That's just how it works. So the Spirit empowers us. And this is the candlestick. It's a good place now. Now you pray. You pray in the Spirit and you pray by the power of the Spirit and you pray by the leading of the Spirit. What often happens with me is I pray and I say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Lead me, guide me, open my eyes. And then suddenly, little by little, I'll get guidance how to pray now. Pray for that, pray for that, pray for that. It just suddenly, it comes alive. It might have been a bit dry until there, but it starts coming alive. Why? The Holy Spirit makes it alive. Okay, then the next step, on the other side of this outer inner room is a table with 12 pieces of bread. It's called the table of showbread. Each piece of bread represented the Israelites and the tribes. Each piece represented a tribe of the 12 tribes. So it was like the tribes were held before the presence of God continuously. That's all of it. And so what happens here, when you now come to the table of showbread, it should remind you about relationships. I think that's so beautiful. So in your path, in your process of praying, now you remember, I have a wife and a dog and whatever. I have relationships. So you remember, but at the same time you start praying for that. You start bringing relationships before God. For instance, I mean, that represents the tribes of Israel. For us, it would represent the church. So remember me, pastor, I need prayer. Please pray for me. Okay. Please pray that I'll be a good husband to my wife, that I'll spend time with God. But pray for us. But that should be a reminder to pray for your spouse, for your children, for your friends, for your people in your small group. But then you pray and hold them before the presence of God. That's very powerful. Okay, and then you step on next step, number 5. Then you come to the altar of incense. The altar of incense is where the priests would come and they would burn incense. So here long story, ek gaan nie details nou ingaan nie. but the incense would lift up before the veil. Then you'd come to the veil. The next step is the veil, and then you have the Holy of Holies, the most glorious place where the manifest presence of God was. But before that, you have this incense going up before God. What does that represent? Worship. So now you've gone through these processes. You have focused on the cross, what Jesus has done for you. He's done it all for you. You can boast in nothing. I can boast in nothing. I've got nothing to offer but my empty hands and my availability. Then you go over to the bronze laver where you pray and you say, thank you, God, for your cleansing and your washing, because stuff defiles us and messes us up. Then you go over to the Holy Spirit and say, God, I thank you for your Spirit that empowers me, leads me, speaks to me, illuminates the Scriptures for me. Then you move over to relationships and you start praying into relationships because God is a God of relationship. And now you're ready. I must say, I struggle to get there in an hour. When I struggle to get to that next bit, but I'm wanting to get more. I'm going to put more in there. But now you worship. You can do different ways. You can, in words, just say, God, you are awesome. You are worthy. You are holy. You just declare who He is. You can put up a CD. Good one to do. Put up a CD. Worship CD. Prefer not too heavy metal. Like in the gym yesterday was these guys from Australia. Highway to Hell. Not that one. Okay, not a good one. Okay. Try something Christian. And then you just worship God. I want to challenge you to try this during the next few weeks. We're going to get to the next one now. But I wanted to challenge you. Just give it a go. Put out an hour and go for it. Put up 30 minutes and go for it. And then put up two songs or whatever and you just worship God. Now you're ready. You've dealt with all your distractions. Now you can just worship Him. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Worship Him. Before the veil. And then, maybe I can just put Psalm 16, verse 8. Beautiful scripture. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. But is God at your right hand? Are you stepping into a place where He is at your right hand? Are you coming before Him in prayer? Or are you just rushing through life and missing it? I've set the Lord always before me. So it's in my mind's eye, in my thoughts. It's very hard to have the Lord in your thoughts when the Proteas lose. It's very hard. Then I've experienced that. There's moeilik. But a week later we feel better. And we focus again. But I want to encourage you to do that. Quote that scripture, declared, I've set the Lord always before me. He is the source of life. He is our peace. I so often try to tell people, it's primarily maybe not your job that's messing up your life or your circumstances or anything like that. You can be going through physical hell and have a peace that surpasses all understanding when you are in the presence of God. But so often we're going for happiness, and happiness is dependent on our circumstances. But joy and peace is not. And I so often try to tell people, just focus on your growth with God. Just focus on getting close to Him. Just focus on coming to know Him, and then you can step into the worst conflict situation and still have peace. It's possible when we position ourselves correctly. And then the last one, ending off with this. Then you have the Holy of Holies. Now there was the Ark of the Covenant, and there was a mercy seat and two angels facing one another, and just above that, the manifest presence of God. That's our goal. I don't know why maybe you are a Christian, but I am a Christian because I want to know Him intimately, not just with my mind, but with my whole being. And I want the whole world to know Him as well. That's sort of why I am a Christian. I want His presence But so then the presence of God, that's where you want to get now. You've worshipped Him. You should already experience His presence. And now you can fellowship with Him. Ever try to have intimacy with somebody that's not in the room? Johan, werk het vir jou as jy ver weg is om intiem te wees met jou vrou? Oor die foon? Werk jy so lekker nie? Nee, werk jy so lekker. But that's how many Christians are living. We're living distance relationships with God. Hey God, remember me? Yes, I remember you. Why am I not seeing you so often? Been busy, Lord. Distracted. Yeah. But love you, Lord. You too. No, that's not what it should be. It should be intimate. It should be real. It should be in His presence. That's where Christianity happens. You cannot have that without a prayer life. You cannot have it without something like that. This is not the only way. And you shouldn't be like legalistic every time. It must go through the process. Something you're ready, you just jump into worship and you go. But if you're struggling, do this. Go through the process into His presence. The Holy of Holies. Psalm 84, verse 2. It says, my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. You know how this works? It's like eating chocolate. If you eat lots of chocolate, you will desire chocolate, which isn't necessarily good for you. But in the same way, the more you experience the presence of God, the more you will desire. But if you find yourself outside or not experiencing Him, the result will be is you won't desire it. You won't desire Him. You won't desire His presence. You won't set aside time for Him. And you won't press into that place. And you will find yourself a criminal. You're going to do stuff that you didn't want to do. You're going to think stuff that it's not good for you. You're going to struggle with stuff that you should not be struggling with. Why? Because you're not living in His presence. But David, the psalmist, says here, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Faints for the courts of the Lord. This is like chocolate or feast. This is like beyond anything you can imagine. This is like being in the desert, thirsty, having no water for 5 days. Faint for the courts of God. I'm thirsty. Thirsty for you. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Your whole being saying, God, I want you. So you can tell me you're busy and you can tell me, yep, there's many distractions and yep, you can tell me lots of stuff. But if you haven't had water for 5 days, you're going to make a plan to get water. The question is, how thirsty are you? And maybe you're not experiencing God's presence. Maybe you haven't experienced this place in prayer. But I want to hold it before you and say, it is there. Pursue it. Pursue it with all your heart. Because see, now the thing happens. Now when you step into the presence of God, now when you are seated at the right hand of the Father, you take up your authority in Christ. And now something actually changes. You're not just asking God stuff. You are now saying stuff. You're now declaring, you're decreeing like a king. Look at the scripture. Matthew 21, verse 21. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. So Jesus is saying there's a place in prayer where it's no longer just asking or begging God. It's declaring. Like with Moses. Moses was standing before the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his armies on that side. All the Israelites between the Pharaoh and the Red Sea, and now he's crying out to God, and God says, why are you crying out to me? Speak to it. Stretch forth your rod. And the waters split open. So there's a place where you then step into another authority, where you're no longer a beggar trying to survive, but you become a king declaring through the Spirit of God. And that's where you want to be. Speak from this place. Act like a king. Decree. Take up your place of sonship, not your place of shame. Every day you have a decision to make. Which seat are you going to take up? Your prayer life will determine that. Are you going to stay outside the courts? Seat of shame. You're going to go in? Seat of sonship. Peace, joy, strength, courage, identity. Okay, so just very practical ending off with this. Plan to pray. Plan your quiet time. If you don't plan it, it won't happen. As they say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. All the business people will know that one. Set time aside first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning. I can often, when I speak to people, I can often determine if they are really having quality time with God, because that is where your strength comes from. And I can often pull it back to struggling with their quiet times for different reasons. So first thing in the morning, if you're getting into bed too late at night, get into bed earlier, get up earlier. And this is a good tip to do. Try and read new scripture the previous evening, for instance, or previous day. You get yourself a booklet or a book, and you write down the scriptures that speak to you. You've been reading, say, 5 chapters of the book of Luke, and that scripture and that scripture and that scripture really just jumped out. It spoke to you. Write it down. Next morning, you go through this process, and then you pray through those scriptures. Don't read new scriptures, because you're not going to be able to focus. Try and focus on what you already received as revelation, as it's spoken to you, and then you pray through them. I've been doing this for a while now. It's just brilliant. It's really amazing. So get active. Get a strategy for your spiritual growth. If you don't have a strategy, you just won't grow. Okay, so that's a few practical tips. Plan, set time aside, first thing in the morning. If you struggle with that, get an accountability partner. Tell somebody, SMS me to wake up, or hold me accountable, or charge yourself 5 rand every time you miss your quiet time. Your wife's going to say, sleep, give me 5 rand. Okay, no. Write it down in a booklet, the scriptures that are speaking to you, and the next morning, pray through those scriptures. And move into the presence of God. Use the tabernacle prayer. Start with the cross, then the word, then the spirit, then relationships, then worship, and then into His presence. It's amazing. Okay. King or a criminal? Which do you want to be? Okay, I just want to pray for us. Pray that God would help us. It's holiday season. Do you know what season that is then? It's the season of hell. Why? Because we holiday from Jesus. Hello, devil. That's sort of how it works. Eh? my theology is very simplistic. It's just through experience. When I speak to people after holidays, they have to confess all their sins and having a vacation from Jesus. So I often speak to the guys and say, no, focus. Put time aside, read a book, have a reading plan in the Bible, have some prayer time aside, and you're going to make it. You're going to stand strong. You come out of it stronger. Okay, so do you have a plan? Friends, my wife and I, we have a plan. When we go on holiday, she asks me a week or two before the time, so how many movies are we going to watch this holiday? And I'm like, net een, ons gaan focus, ons gaan net een kijk, or whatever. How's your boundaries? or are you going to take a holiday from Jesus? Not a good idea. Okay, let's close our eyes and pray for us. Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you that you give us strategy from your scriptures. Strategy in terms of our spiritual growth. And Lord, you give us a strategy every day in terms of how we can move into your presence. And so God, we pray for our hearts, for a hunger and a thirst for the courts of our God. A hunger and a thirst. And Lord, may that hunger and a thirst be translated into physical, practical time with you. Time in your word, time in prayer, and time in worship. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, for this next month. And we pray for this holiday time, God, may it be a time where we rest in you and at your feet and not rest far away from you. In Jesus' name. And so, Father, we pray for us, Lord, that the scriptures will come alive, that the word will speak to us, and that your spirit would lead us into the courts of our God. And so, Father, I pray for every king in this place to take up their position in Christ. Take up their position at the right hand of the Father, where life can really happen and where your kingdom can come. God, we worship you. Lord, we declare that we want to know you. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, because I know so many of us want to know you and want to spend time with you. But there are so many obstacles. Lord, we pray that you will help us to overcome every obstacle, external and internal, so that we can come sit at your feet, not with guilt and condemnation and shame, but boldly come to our God. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so my challenge to you is to go and try this. I will put the notes on the web. Try and email you before we leave for holiday this afternoon. So give it a go and pursue the Lord. Amen. If there's anybody that needs prayer, you're welcome to come for prayer. Now we're in front. Otherwise, join us for some coffee, fellowship. Have an awesome week with Jesus. Amen.